Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Nerdcore podcast, podcast reviews, movies, and talks about nerd shit. This is episode 272, and is your review of the Peanut Butter Falcon. Yes, you have a review on a Sunday night because last night Brad was watching it chapter 2, and we finished a little bit too late. Then I decided to go and watch Hustlers, and I came back a little bit too late. So sorry about that. And Brad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Raul, and I am not sorry for going to watch it, too, and you shouldn't be sorry either.
No, no.
You took the time to go actually watch these movies, but I do expect from you a written review on Hustlers.
Oh, yes, I am going to start writing up a review on that because I sent you a message last night that was actually a pretty enthusiastic message about the movie. Yes, I'm probably going to write a review on Hustlers. I'm going to take a little bit to do it. But what's it called? Today today we're talking about this movie. I want to talk about this movie so much. But by the way, how are you doing today, Brad?
I'm doing well. I'm going to go see The Farewell after I get off talking with you. Yeah. And I actually wrote... I missed a couple unstructured episodes, and I felt bad about that. But I've tried to make it up by writing quite a few reviews. So I hope in some way that's kind of made up for it. But I do have the topic for the next unstructured. So I've had the topic. I just haven't had time to sit down and record it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard right now with your family being at your house. And, you know, you got to take care of the dogs, too. And everything's so hectic over there. But once everything starts getting a little bit less hectic, you're going to have more time to record.
Well, it wouldn't be a big issue if the little dog wouldn't, like, yell all the time.
I know, but hey,
then I could just record while she's like in her kennel, but as she kind of yells, it just ruin kind of any take I do.
It distracts you, but one way you could actually cure that is by actually going to the Patreon, guys, patreon.com/nerdcore, and helping us go ahead and get to certain goals where we'll be able to you know, basically upgrade gear that everybody needs in the team, and I'd be able to get Brad a good microphone that won't actually pick up every little thing that happens in the background.
My mic's great; it just picks up everything.
Yeah, that's the mic I kind of want you to use for the streams. That's fine, but when we're recording like this and what's it called, a secret show that we're about to do. And other like audio movie commentaries and stuff, that we need a better mic for that because we can't be distracted by those things that are happening in the background. But look, patreon.com/nerdcore. Also want to give shout outs to the producers. I'm going to start saying the producers in the beginning because you guys deserve to be in the beginning. We have our associate producers, Sarah, and our new associate producer, Cassandra Correa, a.k.a. Cassie, a.k.a. Green Sauce. Hello, Cassie. Thank you so much for becoming a Patreon supporter at the $10 tier. Cassie also decided to pledge almost a week before the movie club starts to happen. So that should be cool. If you guys want to go and join the movie club as well, it's $5 tier. But if you don't, you can go into any tier you like at the Patreon. And executive producers, we've got Grayson Barker, who you can follow on Twitter at WarlordHitman98. Grayson Barker, 98 on Instagram. And Shane?
You can follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/SWRKK or his Twitter at SWRKK Twitch.
Very thankful for our Patreon supporters, man. Thank you. Thankful for these producers. The producers are the best. And Cassie, thank you so much for pledging to the Patreon, Brad. Right?
Heck yeah. One step closer to 100, where I get to talk shit at Raul in the same room. So I look forward to that. So if you guys can get us to 100, that will make my heart grow 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
And my mouth will say so many cuss words at him during the live show that time.
Oh, I can't wait for that possibility, my friend. You know, that will be an episode spectacular, man. Everybody will try to be there. So it should be a fun time. But, you know, the main match would be me versus you, and it would be just
Oh, yeah. Just, it's going to be a, I'm going to say it now, it's going to go on for like 4 hours of just us talking about old episodes and us being like, you motherfucker.
Yeah. So let's just go back to
always burping in the goddamn mic. God damn it.
You ruined my second, my third episode by going off in different tangents.
Keep it up. I'll bring Nikki on.
Damn oh, you. No. I love you, Nikki. So let's go ahead and, get into this movie. If you have not watched Peanut Butter Falcon and don't want any type of spoilers, then go ahead and stop listening here. But if you really don't care, go ahead and keep listening because this is an incredible movie that we need to talk about. And here we go. The Peanut Butter Falcon is a 2019 American comedy drama film directed and written by Tyler Nielsen and Michael Schwartz and starring Shia LaBeouf, Dakota Johnson, John Hawks, Bruce Dern, Zach Gotskin, John Bernthal, who basically did the easiest role in his life, just got to show up and not even speak or anything, and just
but it was still amazing to see him on screen because I go, oh, it's John Bernthal.
Oh, I know, but it's just it's like he had like the easiest day. He just came into set, just collected his check, and that's it.
I think he just wore whatever clothes he already had and just was like, yeah, cool. He gave Shia his hat when he left.
And Thomas Hayden Church. It had its world premiere at South by Southwest on March 9th, the day after my birthday, 2019. That was theatrically released in the United States on August 9th, 2019 by Roadside Attractions. And the thing that stood out to me the most...
They forgot a few names, though, in the cast.
Oh, yeah. Mick Foley.
And Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake Roberts, man. Yeah, how could you not forget those legends, man?
Exactly. Oh. I saw them. I'm going, what the fuck is Jake the Snake doing here?
And for those,
I'm like, that's kind of cool.
And for those of you guys who are, you know, fans of the rap genre, Yellow Wolf was in this.
Yes. And that was also very interesting to see when he first came. I'm like, wait, I know that guy. That's and it was like, that's Yellow Wolf.
I think the most special thing about this film is that not only the way that it was, not only the way they approached to create the film, but the fact that this is a movie that concentrates on a Down syndrome kid who wants to become a wrestler and is actually played by a Down syndrome actor. And that's something that never happens in this industry because those roles are not given to people with actual disabilities.
No, it's kind of like the Glee one when they had, I think it was Arnie was his name, and he was the disabled person in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. He wasn't actually disabled, though.
Yeah, yeah. So this adds a level of authenticity to the film, and it also adds a level of realism to it, you know, because you're able to connect to him.
And also the history behind it was that this movie was technically written for him.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know the history of this, I watched an incredible interview that they did with these two creators on Collider Live, and they basically said that they wrote this movie because Zach, his biggest dream is to become a movie star, but he's disabled and there is no roles for disabled actors in the world in the industry. So Tyler and Michael decided to just write the film for him, and they got the funding. Then Shia jumped in, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and I think the way this actually got filmed and written, it might be crazier than the story itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because of the way that it was written and the way that it happened is what made the film even more incredible in my eyes.
And you can't say that to all films, because most all films, it's like they already have funding in the bank and yada yada, and it actually took work to get this film made, and it turned out to be something really special this year.
Yeah. So this is basically a retelling of the Huckleberry Finn story. So Zach is a kid who's living inside a facility, I think, or is it like
a retirement facility, because they couldn't find anywhere else for him.
Yeah, where he has a friend in Dakota Johnson who takes care of him, but he's surrounded by old people. And, you know, he wants to become a wrestler because he rewatches this tape by the, what was the name of the guy again?
He was played by Bruce Dern, I believe.
He was what's his Carl. Name? No.
The elderly roommate was Carl.
No. I'm talking about the wrestler. Oh, the saltwater
redneck. Oh, saltwater redneck.
Yes. The saltwater redneck played by Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes, Bruce Dern, wonderful as the friend. Carl, he was fucking great. I love that guy so much. He makes me
laugh. I don't know how he got out. He was super strong.
Yeah. This movie you has
like,
so
you
much.
Like Carl, you good guy.
Yeah. And Zach escapes in the most hilarious way possible, and he meets up with a Shia LaBeouf, also trying to run away from his responsibilities.
I have a question though. Why is all these movies we're watching have dudes in whitey tighties?
I have no idea, man. You're asking a really good question.
Peanut Butter Falcon. I'm about to go see The Farewell. I'm wondering if they got whitey tighties going on. It just seems kind of be the year thing to do.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm very jealous that you're watching fucking The Farewell. But look, I will say one thing about this film. I think this film is very grounded. I think it never loses sight of what it wants to be. And I can't say that for a lot of movies these days.
I hearken back to the last film that made me feel this way, which wasn't too far away. It was Solo, actually. And the reason Solo was my favorite film of that year, and you know this, is I sat through that whole movie with a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. It was just so much fun to watch. And this movie did that to me. It was just so much fun to watch throughout the whole thing. And I don't think a smile ever left my face.
Zach is a delight to watch on screen. His dynamic with Shia absolutely breaks through that screen, dude. Like, you know, he's just incredible to watch with Shia. This kid is, he's got a career. If this industry will learn to give disabled actors a chance, this kid is going to have a huge career on his hands.
Well, and this might be the film that kind of starts it off because of how well it's done. It might become one of those we look back on and see it's a foundational film that helped open the door for more and more disabled actors and actresses to get into the industry.
Yes.
And another thing I really liked about this was Shia LaBeouf during this period, we know, was going through a pretty rough time.
Mm-hmm.
And this film brought back, I think, him into a better place. I think we've read interviews where it did that, where him just spending time with Zach and just on this film and away from Hollywood, I think put him in a better place. And I think you can tell that through this film. Not only is his character getting into a better place, but the actor himself is.
Yeah, but I also just noticed that Shia's got a lot of roles to choose from this year to campaign off the Oscars, but God, does he deserve one for this one. Oh my God. Shia, this his role in this movie is absolutely heartbreaking at times, but it's so uplifting.
And just the dynamic he has with Zach and the way they hearken it back with how the dynamic he had with his brother, it's like he's become the big brother this time. And that was a cool way to film this, is he's taken on the role of the big brother as the protector, and he might have failed as a little brother because as we know, he killed his brother, and I'm going to say a drunk driving accident. That's what it felt like. Or he fell asleep. They didn't really go into all that. They were at a bar, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure he fell asleep at the wheel and then boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's like almost kind of like a redemption for him. And like his brother saying it's okay to open up now and not be angry all the time.
Yeah. So, yes, he's fantastic in this movie. Other people, really interesting how Jake the Snake Robert works in this. I mean, Jake the Snake is like during his heel run. Jake the Snake is a wonderful heel. So in this movie, he's literally playing the heel.
And Mick Foley's playing the ref. But it was like nostalgia just hitting me when I just look and in the background is Jake the Snake. And I'm just going, "This motherfucking Jake the Snake. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is he doing here?" And then I'm like, "It's the South, and it involves wrestling, Brad." I'm like, "Duh." And so this film had a lot of just great little set pieces, I would say, that just show up. And it just made my smile bigger and bigger. And then at the very end, where he performs the atomic throw. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. The way that's kind of filmed is kind of ridiculous. Because he doesn't just throw Jake the Snake out the ring. He, like, throws Jake the Snake out of the county. So...
I love it.
But it wasn't like, you know, other films that might have felt hokey or campy. But to me, this just felt like just another part of this film that made it great. It was like, mm-hmm. and like I said, it just continued to make me smile throughout the thing.
Yeah, I was, moments I was smiling throughout, moments I was crying. And also big ups to Dakota Johnson in this film. She does an amazing.
Oh, she was great.
She was great. I was watching a lot of interviews with the cast, and it really looked like it was fun to be around those three, around Shia, what's it called, Dakota and Zach. It you know, just the chemistry that those three probably have together, and it's an experience that all three of them will probably remember for the rest of their lives, man.
Yeah, I feel like this set was, and I've read before, and I think Tyler Nielsen had stated that it was like summer camp for them, I think it was. It really felt that way.
Mm-hmm. I love some of the messages that are put in here that, you know, sometimes kind of go unnoticed when being either a friend of a disabled person or a stranger to a disabled person. Like, you know, and it's something that I've had to kind of encounter at times, but also I just know a lot of people who've had to encounter this. You know, it's one thing to get blatantly called, you know, words that never should be called to another person with a disability, but there's also moments that get kind of ignored that people don't understand can be a lot more, you know, frustrating to deal with. And it's those moments where they're like, "Did you do this? Oh, I'm so proud of you because you did this, you know, did this task." And it's my brother puts it beautifully. He goes, you wouldn't congratulate a diabetic for taking their insulin. So, you know, some of disabled people, they're just like you. You know, there's,
yeah,
and giving them the pity and you know, showing pity and, you know, the congratulating them for like every little thing, it can sometimes go a different way for people.
Well, and I think that scene on the raft where they basically make Zach dunk his head,
yes,
about three or four times,
yeah,
and they have that discussion, and I think that's the discussion. That never comes up. I mean, we all know saying the R word or bringing up stuff like that and blatantly just being an asshole. Mm-hmm. We know that's wrong. But I think people don't understand that when they're trying to be kind and that they're going, you know, "Oh, he needs help in this." And, you know, Shia's like, "Dude, he can put on his own fucking t-shirt." You know, I'm kind of in the camp with Shia. I'm like, "Dude, they can do everything we can do." I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe in a different way, or, you know, if they ask for help, sure, help them. But it's like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to help you put your shirt on. You're a grown ass man. He's like, I think the quote was, he's like 25. He can put on his own shirt.
Yes.
And I think that's what they're trying to comment on in this is, these are still people.
Yes.
You know, you have a disability, but you're still people. You can do your own shit. You don't need help in every goddamn thing.
It's the same way.
Johnson is, mm-hmm. like, she's basically mothering the kid. And he's not a kid. He's a full-grown adult male. And I think that's what he's trying to get account. And he says it during that first movie, "I'm not supposed to be here. Let me live my life."
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the same way I react to, and I love all the help that my school gives me, but sometimes I'm asked if I need a note taker for my notes during class. I'm like, "No, I can fucking do that myself." They're like, "No." Or it's like, "Come on." And these are the things that kind of get ignored at times. And it's something that I'm really happy that Nielsen and Schwartz actually put in the film, because everybody can talk about the blatant fucking ableism, but like those microaggressions that happen that people don't pick up on because they want to just, you know, be on the safe side, or B, they don't know how to approach being around a disabled person, which is pretty much the same way as you would approach being around the same another person, regular person.
Yeah, as it should be.
As an able-bodied person. Sorry.
I mean, it's just, and I love how they had that conversation, because I think that conversation doesn't get talked about, and you know, people don't mean to, but at the same time, the underlying is that they are calling them
basically
the R word.
Yeah. And that was a really, you know, it was an eye-opening moment. It's a heartwarming moment. And it's also, you know, kind of a moment that makes you realize, like, when was I this way? Or, you know, when has this happened to me as somebody who may actually be facing a disability? And I'm glad that Schwartz and Nielsen put that in there, because I think that's really, really important.
Just overall, I think they wrote this marvelously. I think it's probably the best script out there this year.
Best original script.
Yes.
Yes. Also, we'd like to give a big shout out to whoever did the music. Holy crap. The music was actually pretty damn good.
It was. It really was.
Yeah, I loved it. Soundtrack was great too. And there was moments where I was really scared, like that one with the boat, like where they almost get run over by the boat. I was scared as shit.
That gave me some anxiety right there. If you've ever seen those big old shrimp boats?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get hit that, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember.
But also, I loved, because it's North Carolina, and I'm from the South, so basically all that stuff looks kind of the same in like every little rural Southern town. Like that bait shop he went to, gas station. I mean, they had those all over Louisiana. So those legit is what they look like. There's no... This film really stays to its, I guess, location or locale it's stating, which was cool to see. And seeing the water and all that, this film basically was very nostalgic for me for very many reasons. So I think that might have why I think it's the best film of the year. But on top of that, it's got great acting, it's got a great story, and it's just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And I believe I'm seeing that it has a budget of $6 million, and currently today, as of today, the domestic gross of this film is $15 million. So it's on its way to make its money back, but it's also not a complete, you know, bombing. But it's getting there.
I mean, definitely, it's not a blockbuster. We know that. It's an indie. It's for sure an indie. But I think this thing might clean up at the awards.
Yes.
It might have a chance, at least, I think, original script.
Yes. At the Screen Actors Awards, the DGA Awards, the Golden Globes, yes. I have no idea if this can make it for Oscar contention because, you know, the Academy doesn't ever do like these type of movies, but it would be a big message if they did nominate this for a couple of these awards. But I can definitely see this getting those Saturn awards, those, what's it called, the Screen Actor Awards and the, you know, the WGA awards and all those.
Here's my question: if Oscars were to nominate Shia, he'd be best supporting actor, right? Zach is technically the main actor.
I think so. I don't, it's because
It's hard to tell. It's because both of them take the reins of this film.
It's because Shia's been having a really good year so far. I mean, he has Honey Boy coming out, and that's going to be a big one that he's going to want to campaign for.
Yeah, so he might go for the Honey Boy as best actor.
Mm-hmm. If I were to choose, because you really can campaign everything for this film because that takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
If I was Nielsen and Schwartz, I'd campaign for best original screenplay for the Oscars.
Yeah, that I mean, that's what I would go for, too. Mm-hmm. I think it would win that.
Yes, but Best Original, even just for that nomination, it would be a big step. And for the Golden Globes, for sure, I even take a little bit more of a step to help campaign for Shia, but it's gonna be an interesting race. But like I said, I think that this has a lot of potential for those Guild Awards.
Yeah, I think so too. This, like I said, this is my favorite film of the year.
Yeah, so far,
so
right?
So far.
Yeah.
So far, I'm seeing The Farewell today, so I might have a difference of opinion.
Yeah, God, I want to see that movie so bad. But, yes.
How is it not in Houston?
It is. It's just at places I can't go right now.
Okay.
It's too far. But, look, that being said, you know, I'm trying to I think that's all. That's everything. Oh, I loved Falcon Power. That was funny. I love that. That was great.
I love that whole fire scene where yeah. they're just getting shit faced off moonshine, and just like what did he say?
An alter ego.
You need an alternate ego.
Yes.
Is what he said.
And it's true. Every wrestler has an alter ego. They have their character.
And it's just funny to see him go shit face. And this is another good part. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a movie that has shown a disabled person just drunk off their ass.
And half naked.
Other than Forrest Gump with Lieutenant Dan. Other than that, I don't know if I have seen... I don't know if I've seen anything like this film.
Yeah. I was going to say, I also love, because one of my big fears going into this, I'm like, oh man, when they get to the Saltwater Redneck, he's just going to be a guy who, the actor's probably just going to be like, you know, it's going to be how it happened, right? You know, like, he sees
yeah, exactly. How he got to the front door and they basically got turned away. But then it changed on you.
Yeah.
Because, and what happened is what you hoped would happen, but it never happens in the fucking movies.
Yes, but I love the way it happens because it could have easily just been pushed off like that. But I think that Thomas Hayden Church's reaction is what really sells it. And you can see in that moment is when he gets his, you know, his mojo back. You know, because you can tell he's obviously, you know, not enjoying what he's doing right now. And he wants to get back to it. But nobody has really gotten him out of the deep end. You know,
well, and I think a lot of this movie is about redemption and Zach, every person he meets on his way is redeemed in somehow with Shia. He's redeemed from now. He has someone that, you know, he can be a big brother to. And since he lost his brother, so he gets that back. With Dakota Johnson's character, she's redemeed by that. She gets to say, yeah, she has a family and she gets to, you know, help her friend not be in that environment that he doesn't need to be in, that he doesn't need to be watched 24/7. And, you know, she's redeemed in that way, in the way she has been thinking this whole time. And then Saltwater Redneck is redeemed in that he thought he was just a bum, you know, that no one cared anymore about him. And when somebody comes up and says, yeah, I'm a fan, and he's like, I still have fans, and he didn't realize that. And I think from there on he probably takes back that persona. And my guess is either he goes viral in some way, YouTube, or if this movie continued on, that's how I would think of it.
Yeah, like, I would think he would reopen the school
and maybe go to Florida with them. And My guess is that someone was filming, because this was 2016, everyone had a fucking, you know, iPhone. So, I think this was 2016. It was around sometime. But somebody would have filmed Jake the Snake being launched into the atmosphere.
I love that. And I love this movie. So, let's go ahead and head into the scoring, Brad. I'm going to go ahead and I need to check where it is on my list at the moment. I'm sorry. But I'm going to go ahead and give the Peanut Butter Falcon a roaring 10 out of 10. 5 out of 5 stars on my Letterboxd. Of course, it would be a crime to give it any less. Yes, I see that the editing was the continuity editing was a little bit, what's it called, off. But I believe this is a first time director. I'm like, you're not gonna get the perfect shots and everything. So I let that slip. I let that pass just because the story is amazing.
I gotta agree with you. Favorite movie of the year. Everybody needs to see this if they can, especially in theaters. Mm-hmm. And 10 out of 10.
And this is my number 5 of the year so far, right behind Midsommar and right on top of Us. And yes, and we'll talk about what is in my top 3 when we get to next week. So, it's been a wonderful time here, guys. I really have enjoyed talking about this movie. And sir, if you're listening to this, Mr. Tyler Nielsen or Michael Schwartz, we would love to have both of you on the show. This is our invitation. We would love to be able to have you on the show. I'm sorry we can't find an email address for you to email you more directly, but we would like to have you on the show and talk about this film because there's a lot of things I want to talk about. And if you could bring Zach on, that'd be amazing. I want to talk to Zach. I would love to just sit down and just talk with that guy for hours. But Mr. Nielsen and Schwartz, if you would love to please come on the show, this is our open invitation to you all. Please, it would be an honor, and we would love to talk about this film with you. So, if you liked this episode, go ahead and rate and review the podcast on your podcast app of choice. It really does help the feed grow. Make sure you follow the Nerdcore on Twitter at the Nerdcore _, Instagram at the Nerdcore, Facebook page the Nerdcore Pods. Also, join the Nerdverse, the official Nerdcore group, where we talk about all things nerd. And make sure you go and check out the Patreon. Like I said, you know, lots of cool tiers are on there. So go and help us out. We're one Patreon member away from hitting our first goal. I'm already going to dye my hair. Yes, I know I'm doing that. But the comic book club, that's going to be some cool stuff. So you guys go and make sure you check out the Patreon for that. And with that being said, Bradley, I believe it's time to say goodbye. And Falcon Power, right?
Falcon Power.
All right. Send them into the podcast, boy, Brad.
Nariro, thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We truly appreciate each and every one of you. Can't wait to get to 100 Patreons so I can talk shit to Raul in the same room. And I guess in the next episode, I think it's the news episode.
Yes, sir.
Correct? It is the news episode, and then after that, you will get our It 2 review.
Yeah, well, so, no, after the news, it's the 400 Blows for Foreign Language Month.
Oh, yes.
The 400 Blows.
Which I need to watch.
The 400 body blows, man.
Yeah. I guess I got more movies to watch. So thank you guys and Young Yoda.